All right, Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. The anticipation building here in 2021. We didn't get to talk about high school football playoffs in 2020 with the modified spring season. We're joined by John Elder, who was instrumental in creating the IHSA football playoff system back in the 1970s. It went into play in 1974. So I was telling Coach Elder, you know, before we went on the air that actually the spring, last spring when they played high school football, that was basically what high school football was like before 1974. You'd play your games and then boom, the season was over, right?
That's right. Yeah, it was, you know, no matter what happened, that was the end of things for sure.
Well, that changed in 1974. I know we've had you on numerous times kind of talking about the story. What was it like with the newness of it when the system was created back in 1974 in the first playoff system?
Oh, it was great because the people embraced it. And as the teams advanced and you're in the area, everyone from your neighboring schools got behind the local people that were still playing, and it really was quite a festive time. And in those days, of course, we played on Wednesday and Saturday, which was a big deal. And I wish they'd have never quit it, but they did. But anyway, it was just an exciting time for everyone, and football got a chance to have its time in the spotlight for a period of time, you know. It was big for the entire area, and it was big for the state as far as that's concerned.
Well, and then you think about that era in the 1970s, you know, that's prior to consolidation really taking off. So you're talking about, you know, when the IHSA playoff system was implemented in 1974, you were talking about just five classes and 16 qualifiers per class, so you're talking about 80 total qualifiers, so it really meant something just to get into the playoffs back then, I'm assuming.
No question about it. We were fortunate in our little six conference at that time because most all the people that got in, you had to be a conference champion to get in, but they had some wild card spots available based on certain criteria, and there was a three-way tie in our conference. We beat Galva, Galva beat Rova, and Rova beat us. And so they all three of us and all three qualified for the playoffs. Galva and Rova both qualified as at-large teams because on the thing we had going in our conference, our team was the conference representative. And so as it turned out, we turned around and played Rova the first game after they had beaten us in week eight. And so we turned around and played them right away. And then, well, we would have played Galva, but Sherrard beat Galva. So, but anyway, it really was big for football, high school football, and it was big for the area.
And when you look at kind of how the system has changed over the years from 1974, from your perspective, what was the biggest change? Was it going to the six classes, going to the eight classes? You know, you mentioned the Wednesday, you played Wednesday and then turned around and played Saturday. Where do you really think the biggest change occurred at in the system when you look back from 1974 to today?
Well, probably one of the things was the qualification. You know, there wasn't any seating in those days, but the brackets were made up before the season ever started, and you knew where your conference would land on the brackets before the season. If you were the conference representative, you knew exactly where you'd be landing on the brackets, and that was a big thing. Plus the change in, again, in the qualification thing, but more teams, you know, it got more people excited, more people involved. It's to individual preference as to whether you think it's better or worse with more teams involved. But it was what we felt was a pretty elite group at that particular time. And the fact that we got three people in and out of our conference, told people that, you know, maybe our little six conference was a pretty good football conference.
So you knew, you know, you mentioned on the bracket, you knew back in those days where you were headed on the bracket, determining how you finished in your conference. When did it really change then? You know, we're so accustomed to, you know, pairings night, But really, the pairings night is only really a modern type of history. You look back probably to the mid-90s when it really took off and became a big deal. So, you know, notification-wise, so you knew, there wasn't really a big pairings night like there is now, is what you're saying.
Well, there was, but because you didn't know exactly, necessarily, you didn't know who you were going to play. As it turned out, we played an at-large team. Now, there were some conferences that were definitely pitted up against other conferences from the start. So they knew pretty much going into the last week or so who they were going to be playing. That was a big thing. I guess the big change probably was in the seeding when they seeded it all the way. And initially, the idea was to seed it from 1 through 16 or 1 through 32 and that sort of thing at every class. Then the geography thing entered in and they tried to keep the mileage traveled to a minimum and that sort of thing. But the seating changed it a lot.
Well, and now we're in a situation where there are 8 classes and we're talking about, you know, they try to split the brackets in half, 1 through 16, I think 7 and 8A, that they can get away with going 1 through 32. The question now is what happens next? Is there going to be any other expansion? Now, if there would be additional expansion, I would think the only logical expansion would be basically everybody getting in. Is there any way to do it other than that if you say we're going to expand the playoffs again?
Oh, there's been many, many proposals, Jim, and I'm a little bit out of the loop on some of that anymore, but I don't anticipate that it'll come to pass in the near future, but I might be wrong. As I say, I'm kind of out of the loop as far as some of the ideas. There's about every type of plan has been presented. You know, there also here a few years ago, there was a plan presented where the 4 and 5 people, let's say, would have an opportunity to have a playoff among themselves and that sort of thing. But I haven't heard much about a movement towards everyone in or that type of thing anymore. They're just for football people. There's too many, too much downside to the play, and they would lose a regular season game. You would lose some underclass games and that sort of thing. And I don't think football people are really in favor of everybody in.
You know, when you look back to 1974, so that was the first year of the playoffs. So how many years did it take you to actually get the system rolling? So when did you actually start the process of saying, hey, we want to try and get a playoff system in order? How long did that take you?
Well, I can't recall all of it, Jim, but of course, there's some of the neighboring states had them, and people felt that it would come to pass, and the IHSA really had as much to do with establishing the exact procedure as anything. They had researched some plans and that sort of thing prior to time, and I think they got it right. I didn't see anything wrong with it in those days, and I really don't today, other than there's no guarantee there. Early on, there was a big problem because you take up in that northwest part of the state where they still end up playing each other all the time. Back in the Galena, Stockton, those people now, then in Salina, Winslow, Forreston, this year Dupex in there, all them people end up having to play each other. Sometimes they get to the almost to the semifinals before they play anybody that they haven't played before. So that's probably the biggest downside of that. But all in all, I think they got it pretty well set up, and a lot of states that I've dealt with people in many different states, and they like our system, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I think that the next big question, though, probably is going to be this 8-man situation and the growth with that. And you know, right now they're playing under the auspices of the Illinois 8-man Football Association, which is outside purview of the IHSA. However, you know, basically their schedule coincides with the IHSA schedule when the first day of practice starts, basically the 9 weeks of the regular season. Yeah. And I would just think, and I know, you know, the talk's been there before, that as, you know, the numbers grow, and if they reach a certain number threshold, it probably looks like they'll become an IHSA sport eventually. Now, if that right. if that happens, and I'm just asking you, this is Jim Taylor and John Elder talking here, how do you think that impacts playoff classification in terms of high school football? Is there eight classes plus one eight-man class? Do they reduce the 11-man classes? Or how do you think that potentially could play out?
Well, I haven't given that much thought, to be honest with you, Jim, but I think it's going to – I can't tell you what the number of people they have to have, number of teams they have to establish it as an IHSA program, but – It's going to affect, obviously, the smaller schools, and what that will do is probably raise your size of your classes up, particularly your 1 and 2A classes will probably go to a higher number as a cutoff number based on the fact that the smaller schools are the ones dropping out. And it's a given that there's going to be more eight-man football because some of these smaller schools have just lost so many kids, you know, they just have such little participation that they can't compete in 11 man. And it's, I don't know what I've got my own ideas as to why I think that's happened, but that's going to be a big thing with it. But I don't think it'll affect the playoffs as much as it'll affect the actual enrollment of, you know, the enrollment cutoffs. Let's say that.
So you think then they, you know, what you would envision, they would maintain the 8 11-man classes and then just have the additional 8-man class?
Oh, I think so. I mean, that would satisfy some of the people, or, you know, come closer to satisfying some of the people, because there would be more people in the playoffs, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, and I know I've talked to you before. You're supportive of the 8-man game, right?
Well, I'll be quite honest with you. I threw this idea out there 30 years ago when numbers started to drop a little bit and people laughed at me. I mean, that was the time people were starting to talk about consolidation. And I said, you know, if you're going to keep local people playing football, you're going to have, we've got to look at eight man, but no one at that point everyone thought I was kind of silly. But anyway, that's come to pass now. And what's happened with consolidation and co-ops and so forth, you've lost a lot of those fringe kids that make your team, you know, maybe they don't play a lot, but they're part of the team and they live quite a ways away from the school or whatever. And they're tired. They don't want to get home at 7 o'clock at night and then maybe see action three times during the year. And so they don't participate. That's part of my idea on that. That's one of the downsides of the co-op I see. You lose some kids that you would have if you had it at your own school.
All right. And then I was just, you know, the other thing I was thinking about with the venue situation for state football, now it's a bidding process, I realize, and now it's, you know, between the U of I and it's Northern Illinois. It had been played at, of course, Hancock Stadium at Illinois State University before the renovations there. You know, is there something you would favor in regards to the venue for high school football, or does that really matter, you think?
No, not necessarily. I liked Hancock Stadium back in the days, but I was skeptical about going to the University of Illinois because I thought the people would get lost in there, particularly the smaller schools, but that hasn't been the case. They seem to like it. Northern has done a great job hosting it, I think, down through the years. I've been to, not been a year. This is, to be quite honest with you, this will be the first year, unless one of my teams get there. This will be the first year that I haven't gone to the playoffs. I'm getting to the age where it's pretty tough for me to set for eight games.
Well, and the one thing I will credit the 8-Man Football Association about, I like their venue of, you know, they picked a small environment to play their state title game at Monmouth College. And I went a couple years ago and I thought, you know, they figured this out. I like kind of the atmosphere. It's a true small school atmosphere and the vibe is kind of neat. So I think they got that.
I think they got that right. Yeah. I agree with you there. I like that setting. And it came to pass, you know, I think because John Lawler from Hebron was kind of the Insier, the man that pushed the program to start with, the ape man, and he had a son at Monmouth College, so he had a relationship there, I think, and they also thought, I just anticipate that they thought they knew there were a lot of small schools in this area and would kind of advertise the game by playing down there, which I think it has. And the first year it was so cold, but 2 years ago it was a beautiful night and they had a great crowd. And oh, I think it's a great setting for them. That's a nice stadium.
Yep, it is. All right, so what do you think as we wrap up here? John Elder helped create the IHSA football playoff system. Again, the first year was back in 1974, so we are approaching, you know, the 50-year mark here. Yep. In a couple of years. What do you think the next big change is going to be in terms of high school football as it relates to the playoffs? Have you thought about that at all?
Well, not really. I don't know. Again, like I say, I'm not part of the discussion anymore that much, and so I don't know how much discussion there is surrounding it. Where circles I travel in, just following my grandson, and consequently, I don't get much of that coach conversation anymore. So I really can't answer that, Jim.
All right. Well, it's always great to visit. You still get excited this time of the year when the playoff pairings are announced.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Well, I still get excited watching high school football. I went to that Avenue Knoxville game Saturday night. It was quite a game. But that's what high school football is about, those kind of situations, you know, and small communities that they get behind your teams. And it's just a different time of the year, and it's a great spectacle. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and that game lived up to the billing, a one-point game where they're going for two at the very end.
That's right. Yep.
All right, always great to visit with you, Coach John Elder. Thanks for helping us out.
Nice visit with you, Jim. Thanks a lot.
All right, more coming
Bye.
Up on WRMJ.